Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, today I am going to be ministering part two of God's Game Changers. How many of you were here last week and you heard part one? Well, I just want to recap a little bit today. And Toby, where's Toby? Where's Toby? I think she's deliberately not lifting her hand. Oh, I see, holding a baby. I'll let you off. Thank you. Did you notice she didn't get us doing double time clapping? Yeah, so I was able to just worship God and I didn't have to worry about whether I was clapping or singing or... Yeah, praise God. Anyway, the man who has rhythm will be back soon. I remember the first time that he and I had a night away, just the two of us, after years and years of marriage. And I can't remember, it must have been Roro who babysitted, and we went out one New Year's Eve. And we went and stayed in a hotel. We had such a lovely time. And I just thought, you know what? I'm going to let my hair down. I've never seen my husband look so embarrassed. He stood there just going, just thinking, what is this woman doing? But that was me dancing. But, you know, my husband minds, but God doesn't. Praise God. So God's game changers. And you remember... We started last week looking at 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, which we know. That verse where God speaks to Samuel. And he says that the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. It's your heart that will set you up for success in 2016. It's what's going on the inside that is going to make the difference in the next year. You know, it's really interesting because God is not moved by the things that you and I are moved by. And do you remember I shared that, you know, I got into the presence of God and I was saying, Father, this bothers me because my Bible tells me in 1 Samuel chapter 9 that when God was identifying the first king that he chose, that he said, this is Saul. And in most translations it says, a handsome man. So I was crying out to the Lord and saying, Father, you've got to speak to me because I know that you wouldn't choose someone because he's good looking. You know, I'm still glad that I didn't have my little list of tick boxes when I was looking for a husband. I'm still glad about that. Do you know something happened last night at this prophetic meeting here? And I realized, you know, so often we go to prophetic meetings or when someone's got a prophetic ministry and we have a tick box, we know what we want God to tell us about. Never again will I come to a meeting like that deciding what I want God to tell. You know, God wants to declare the end from the beginning. He wants to proclaim things, and the things we think we want to hear often aren't what God needs to establish. You know, I want to encourage you every time you come into the presence of God that we come with that place saying, God, what do you want for me? Not this is what I want for myself. Because so often what God wants to do is way beyond what we think we need. You know? And so I asked the Lord, I said, Father, why? Why would you choose a man just because he's handsome? That's not you. And as I studied that scripture and went to the Hebrew, I was blown away by what I found. In fact, Young's literal translation says it as it is, that in choosing Saul, what God said is, there is not a man among the sons of Israel goodlier than he. The word that is used for handsome, I think the translators just didn't know what to do with what they saw. But in nearly every other time that word is used in the Old Testament, it's translated good. He was a good man. He had a good heart. That's why God chose him. But there's an issue, you see, because success amplifies the faults in our foundations. You can be a good person. You can have a good heart, but if there are faults in our foundations, then success will amplify those faults. I remember something Prophet Nana said. I'll never forget this. I remember him once saying, you'll never know if someone's humble until they're really successful. We can all appear humble, but then How humble are we when we're suddenly really successful? That's when we get to discover what's really in our hearts. And you see, the success that Saul encountered exposed the faults in his foundations. And this man who once had a good heart and didn't deal with the issues of his heart became someone who ultimately completely missed his destiny. Do you remember I shared that, you know, we can see from Scripture that God's original plan for Saul was that he would have an eternal kingdom like God eventually gave to David. But he missed it because of the issues of his heart. And we looked last week at the first issue, which I felt the Lord wanted us to look at, because with God, it's not the what, it's the why, remember? It's not about the fact that Saul, you know, did an offering that he shouldn't have done. It's not about the fact that Saul didn't completely obey. How do I know that? Because David did worse things. It's why. Say why.
Why?
You see, it's about the issues of the heart. God looks at the
heart.
Right, so God's looking at your heart and at my heart when he's working out what he can do in us and through us and in this next year. Are you hearing me? God wants to do things in our lives. He wants to accomplish so much. But a lot of that is affected by the condition of our hearts. He started with a good heart, but he ended up with a hard heart. And we looked at that hardness of heart last week, and we looked at stubbornness. You know, and I want to look at something else today. And we are going to turn to 1 Samuel 15. And I'm going to start reading at verse 13. And I'm just going to read a few verses here. 1 Samuel 15, and we're going to start at verse 13. So this is after Saul had been given an instruction about getting a job done for God, and he was told how to do it. And in verse 13 it says, "Then Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, 'Blessed are you of the Most High, for I have performed the commandment of the Lord.' But Samuel said, 'What then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear?'" Verse 16. "Then Samuel said to Saul, 'Be quiet, and I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night.' And he said to him, 'Speak on.' And Samuel said, 'When you were little in your own eyes, I appointed you as king.'" When you were little in your own eyes. The second issue that I want us to look at today is such a key one in the heart of God, and it's this whole area of self-importance. Is this all right?
Yes.
You know, there's a wonderful scripture in Proverbs 27 that says, "To a hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet." Now, what does that mean? You see, when I'm really hungry, how many of you really, really want to succeed? Wave at me if you really want to succeed. You really want to go somewhere in life. Wave at me. You really want that. You're hungry for it. You know, say to God, "Father, I want your best. I want you to use me.
I want
my potential to be fulfilled." You see, when we're hungry enough for that, then even the hard things to hear become sweet. Are you hearing me? Because they become the way that we get to satisfy that yearning on the inside to be that person that God's called us to be. You know, and so I believe that God wants to touch on some nerves this morning. Is that all right? Because you see, here was a man, Saul. And once he was small in his own eyes, once he knew, "Well, I'm just Saul, I'm a nobody." But something started to happen in his heart. You see, I believe, based on that scripture, that God spoke to Samuel, who loved Saul so much. Don't think this is some judge, this is some prophet who you know, just thought, "Oh, well, it's a king who's messed up." Samuel loved Saul. He loved him like a son. He believed in him. And God spoke to Samuel in the night, not just about what he'd done, but why. Say why. God's concerned with the motives of our hearts. And he spoke to him in the night. And he said, you see, the problem is, Samuel, the reason that I'm having to tear this kingdom away from this man is because of what's now going on in his heart. You see, it wasn't what he did. He didn't fully obey. But why? Because he now thought, you know what? I'm king. You know, the people want to keep a few sheep, the best. You know, we've got a king. Yeah, well, I'm king. I know what's best. You know, I can make my own mind up. Amen? You know what I'm saying? I remember one day, we'd just moved house, and we were working on our home. And my husband was giving me all the pathetic jobs. Has anyone ever been there? You know, he was in charge. Because, yeah, he knows more. He was a carpenter once, you know. I recognise that, and he knows more. But he was giving me all the dreggy jobs. Like, I'd say, what next? And he'd say, oh, go make me a cup of tea. And I'm like, oh, honestly. So I'm walking off, you know, kettle on. You know, I was just getting more and more. And then I'll bring the tea back. You know, what shall I do now? Well, you know, the sitting room needs hoovering after I've done the sanding. I'm like, come on. And I just turned to him. I said, Paolo, I can do DIY as well, you know. And he went, all right. And he looked at me and he handed me a screwdriver, something else, I can't even remember what it was. And he said, change the door handles. I said, all right then, grabbed them, walked off. And I was so cross at him, just his attitude, you know. Who did he think I was? Some skivvy. And so, you know, there I am. I go into this room where we need a door handle. You know, I pull the door shut. I unscrew the handle. You know, and I'm suddenly looking at this door. I'd slammed it. I mean, with such determination. And I'm behind. For those of you that don't understand why, we've got some builders in the house looking at me, going, "Oh my goodness." And you can imagine, you see, because the way you change a door handle is you have to have the door open because you need to get from one end to the other. So now I'm on the inside of a door with no handle and I can't get out. And my husband is loving this. So he's the other side going, all right, my love. And he's taunting me with every word I say. He said, well, I know, you'll be fine because you can do DIY. And I'm standing in this room, and of course, he's waiting. Oh no, that was really unfair. He's waiting for my stubbornness and pride to turn. And it took a while. Because I'm just furious. Will you open the door, my love? My love, will you open the door? And he's going, hi. And I can hear him through the door. My love, you need to open the door right now. This isn't right. This is like imprisonment. And he's going, yes. I'm saying, Paolo, this is now like kidnap. You need to open the door right now or I'm going to call the FBI. It doesn't matter that I'm in England. And he's just the other side of the door going, I'll be there soon, honey. And eventually, I climb down. But you see, self-importance, are you hearing me, can make me think that I can do what other people can do. Do you remember Miriam and Aaron? You know, Moses was anointed, not because he was something special. Are you hearing me? You know, when you've got a gift, when you've got a talent, it's because God's given it to you. Turn to your neighbor and say, your gifts are from God. You know, if there's any area where it's our responsibility, it's character. Gifts is all about God. Talents, gifts, it's God. And Miriam and Aaron, they were like, are you the only one that God speaks to? He speaks to us too. You know, just something rising on the inside, a self-importance. The next thing, Miriam's got leprosy. Do you remember this series is called God's Game Changers? You see, if I won't deal with self-importance on the inside of me, it's over. Or it's over until I do deal with it because God is just so patient. Do you know, you see, let me tell you, I believe there are basically three roots of pride. Pride is one of the most massive, massive issues that every single one of us has to deal with. I believe there are three roots. I believe the first is success. You know, and the Bible says in Deuteronomy 8, you know, we so often quote that scripture that it's God that gives me the power to get wealth. How many of you know that scripture? Wave at me if you know it. But why is God saying, you know, he isn't saying that so that we can take that scripture and go, God gives me the power to get wealth. Yes, he does. Hallelujah. Amen. But the reason he is saying that in that moment is because God is saying, when you're now rich, when you're successful, when you've got houses, don't say in your heart that it was my own skill, my own ability that got me to this place. Because it was God. It is God that gives you the power to succeed, to increase. You see, God wants us never to reach that place where we suddenly think that it's all about me. I remember 1 year, he's not here, but I'll never forget 1 year when midnight struck on New Year's Eve. And Paolo had had one of those, you know, this was before God really dealt with self-pity in him, so it's great he's not here, I can say anything. But it was before all that, and I remember the clock struck midnight, and he just was fed up of all these different things going on, and he turned to me, and he said, next year? He said, it's all about me. And I remember looking at him going, oh, yeah? And he lasted about 3 hours, and then he went, all right, it's about Jesus after all. You know, but you see, these issues in our hearts. So that first one is success. The second, you see, is we all have to deal with these risks of pride and self-importance every single day. Say every day.
Every day.
Every day. Let me just give you an example. Yesterday. Are you hearing me? Yesterday. Right. You see, God is constantly wanting to raise us up, but the enemy is constantly wanting an excuse to take us out. And the Bible says that God lifts up the humble, but brings low the proud. Amen? The Bible says that my soul cannot stand pride in a heart. There are so many scriptures that basically says that God himself opposes us when there's pride. So what is the enemy constantly trying to do? Get us to feel proud. You know, so yesterday, say yesterday.
Yesterday.
We had this event here. And we reached the point where we needed to turn the room around from a banqueting hall back into an auditorium like it is right now. And so we were running around like headless chickens, wonderful team of people working really hard. And but some of the people hadn't arrived yet. And so we were just all trying to get it done as quickly as possible. Anyway, you know, there was someone I wanted to get some books to. So I asked one of the ladies, our bookshop manager, I just said, please, you go sort that and I'll take over the hoovering. So I'm hoovering away and I'm now really sweating. You know, I'm just like, I was wearing too much. Do you ever wear too much? And you're thinking, why have I got about 20 layers on? And I'm hoovering away, I'm now sweating. And then I'm suddenly going, I'm above this. And I'm like sweating away and going, I shouldn't be doing this. And then I'm going, I should be doing this. I've got this debate in my, because you're a servant, Joe. And I'm going, but I shouldn't be here. Yes, you should be here. There's this massive argument going on. And then I'm right the back over there, hoovering still. And I'm now dripping with sweat. And I'm now starting to say, you know, and people seeing me hoover, how are they going to receive the word from me another time? And then I, you know, are you hearing me? Say every day. Every day we have to fight with this enemy that says, I'm above this. I'm never going to be above being a servant. Because my Savior, who is God, who left heaven, the throne room, to come down to earth. Do you know what he said? The Son of Man has not come to be served, but to serve. When I'm cleaning over there, I'm following in the footsteps of my Savior. Are you hearing me? Every day. Do you know, one of the ones that blew me away was just thinking of my Savior, Jesus. I want you to picture this. He's carried the cross. Well, someone carried it for him, but he's gone through the cross. He's hung there, naked. He's been whipped on his back. He's, even in the midst of all that, said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He's gone down to hell, according to the word of God. He's taken the keys of death and hell, which is why we can go to heaven. Hallelujah. He then is put in the grave. He's put in the grave before all that. He does all that. And then he's raised from the dead. The stone is rolled away. And out comes Jesus. He has had a hard few days. Anyone agree with me? Jesus has been working really hard. He has been giving his all in ministry. He's been serving. He's been doing the ultimate act of ministry. Yeah? And then what's the first thing he does? He sees his team. And he says, guys, I'm just going to have a sit down, put my feet up, bring me a drink. A latte, please, Tommaso. And he just sits. No. Do you know what Jesus does? He meets with his team and he starts cooking them breakfast. He serves them. The King of Kings and the Lord of the Lords serves them. You see, every single day of our lives, there is this fight. There is something on the inside. You see, the carnal man wants to assert himself. And Saul allowed self-importance to get in the way. There are so many scriptures. I'm just going to mention a couple of them. Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? This is Proverbs 26, verse 12. There is more hope for a fool than for him. One of my daily declarations that I make over my own life is I'm not wise in my own eyes. I'm not better than other people. I'm a servant. I'm a learner. I'm childlike. Because I know that Satan will fight me till the day I die or get raptured to try and get me thinking I'm something special. The minute I think that, I mean, we're all special. We're special to Jesus, amen? Amen. But we're not special because of any gift or talent. We're not special because we can do one thing or another well. We're special because we belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Paul the Apostle, well, the Holy Spirit, through Paul the Apostle, said, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. This is a game changer. You know, the thing about Saul, don't forget, is he stayed in office. 40 years that man reigned in Israel. He was king for 40 years, but for two, his heart was right. You know, the Bible says that the gifts and call of God are without repentance. So things might look like they're all the same on the outside. We might look like we're carrying on, you know. You know, I mean, pray for your leaders. Pray for pastors. Please pray for us. Because you can't tell by looking at the outside what's going on the inside. And for Saul, it looked like all was still well. He had 38 years reigning as king because the call and gifts of God are without repentance. But God had already changed his mind, regretted making Saul king. The third route that I believe is a really critical route, one of the saddest routes, I believe, of pride. I said the first is success. The second is the everyday stuff that we all need to fight. And what happens, you know, is if you combine success with every day as well, it's like, oh, relentless. Amen? But the third, and I just think it's so sad when this is the case, but the third root of pride is so often inferiority. You know, because if I don't really think I'm important enough on my own, just me, you know, if I have a low self-esteem, if I have a low self-worth, if people have put me down and those words have affected my view of myself as a man thinks in his heart, so is the man. So I'm going to be someone who, you know, is living a life thinking I'm not good enough, and then suddenly something happens where I'm promoted or something happens where I'm celebrated. You see, if I find in the midst of my inferiority and insecurity something that gives me a sense of value, then pride can set in. And I believe that this was the root of Saul's pride. He never dealt with those issues of inferiority that made him hide when Samuel had chosen him. You know, he never weaned himself off the praises of people. You know, and I, you know, when we allow what people say to make us feel good, then what people say can tear us down. We've got to learn. If you're someone who's fed on words, you've got to learn to wean yourself completely off words. Like an alcoholic will say, I'm not going to allow alcohol anywhere near my lips, now I'm dry. We've got to learn to say, I'm not going to allow those words to touch my heart anymore, because, you know, until we're totally able. You know, so God's heart is that we allow him to go to those structural faults, those foundations, those cracks on the inside, so that he can do a work deep within, so that our heart can remain right and tender before God. You know, it's all just too easy to end up in this place of self. Let me, even self-consciousness. You know, self-consciousness, why, it's all about self. You know, don't look at me, don't look at me. It's the same spirit of pride that says, look at me. Because it's all about right. You know, so we need to reach the point where it's just not about me anymore. You know, we need to reach the point where we're ready to serve and be a servant. You see, what I really believe that God is wanting to do is set you up for success. And one of the keys to success is that we guard our hearts, not monthly, not annually, but daily, against some of those really vicious arrows that the enemy is constantly trying to trip us up with. You know, I'll never forget that day, that wonderful day. You know, I always say this, but I'm so glad for the type of man that God gave me. You know, for one who is just the way he is. You know, and I'll never forget that day when I was in the worship. I was about to preach. You know, and so I was getting into that wonderful place. You know, anyone ever get there where you're like, you know, ooh, enjoying the presence of the Lord? And then my husband turned to me and said, fix the light, and pointed over there. Now, the first thing about this is I don't know anything about lights. And there was one of these lights that was pointing in the wrong direction. So I went over and I switched the light on and walked back, thinking, does he not know I'm the one preaching today? And I stand back there again, just getting back into the presence of God. And he said, it's pointing in the wrong direction. I'm like, who does this man think he is? Does he not know that I'm misimportant today? Are you hearing me? You know, and so I go marching over, wiggle it. It was this offending light here. Can you see it? And so I turn this, come back, and I'm standing again. And he said, it's not rotating. I look at him, and this time I remember. You see, the thing is, every single time that your sense of my rights is challenged, do you know what it is? It's an opportunity for graduation. It's an opportunity to step up to the next level. It's an opportunity to be able to humble yourself more. And I remember standing there looking at him, wanting to just punch him between the eyes, wanting to just say to him, if you were asking me to do that, if I was asking you... I mean, that's my favorite line. I hear it in my, how many of you rehearse conversations in your head? I want to turn around and say, if I was asking you right now, before you were about to preach, you would really deal with me. And that's what I wanted to say, but instead, I turned around and went, God, I remember I'm a servant. And I smiled. Okay, my love. And I walked over, and that thing was pointing in the right direction. And it was until this day, and I realise now, when he comes next week, he'll probably notice. But do you see? God is looking at our hearts. He's shining his light deep on the inside, and he's saying, my son, my daughter, climb down from that place. You know, one of the little things that I do a lot is I've just made a covenant that every time I go into a toilet, a public toilet, I don't do it at your house, don't worry. Anyone going to start feeling all self-conscious when I visit? What's she doing in my bathroom? No, I don't do it in anyone's private toilets, but any public toilet, in any restaurant, anywhere, I have made a covenant with God that when I leave that lavatory, when I leave that cubicle, it will be in a better shape than it was when I walked in. Whether I have to pick up stinking toilet roll from the floor, whether I have to clean something off the inside of the rim, if I can do it hygienically, whatever I have to do, I make sure that that loo will be in a better condition by the time I leave it, because it just helps me remember that I'm a servant. Are you hearing me? It helps me remember who I am. And you know what? I just don't know why it is, but in this particular building, I always find the loos where there's somehow a bit of poo got stuck somewhere. And I walked in one time and went, oh no, I remember telling Godfrey. I came out and went, Godfrey, there was poo on the floor. And he's looking at me going, oh, I'm so sorry. I said it was on the floor and I had to get there. And I have an issue with smells. I love scents. But smells have been a weakness of mine for a long, long time. You know, and it's happened too many times. I even found some poo twice yesterday. I'm like, no more poo. But you know what God's doing? He's keeping me a servant. You see, you've got a future, and God wants you to protect your destiny. He wants you to protect your purpose, and that requires a climb down from that place of self-importance. It requires saying, I don't know, I don't mind what I have to do, whether it's hoovering the auditorium and having a massive fight on the inside, whether it's submitting to my husband when I feel like slapping him. Are you hearing me? Whatever it is, there's a battle over your destiny. There's a battle over your future. And it's a battle we have to fight every day. You know, I want to encourage you, if you know that you still struggle with issues of your own sense of worth. You know, if I was to just pick you out and say, what do you really think of yourself? How valuable do you really believe you are? You know, and if your answer would be a little frail, if you like, if your answer would be one that was a bit difficult, then I want to encourage you that you need to allow God to do a deep work on the inside of you. You need to allow God to shine his light into the deep issues of our hearts. You know, because God wants to take away our insecurities. He wants to deal with rejection. He wants to deal with everything that makes me feel small about me so that I don't have to rely on titles, on positions, on the words of others to find a sense of self-importance. You know, it's so sad reading about Saul. God chose him. God chose him because he was a good man. You know, I know the call of God on your life. I know that he sees your heart. He sees how far he can take you. But God is calling us in this season to say, I want you to do that work within, no matter what it is. Do you remember I shared that scripture, Proverbs 27, to a hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. You know, I want to encourage you to reach that place where you say, God, do what you need to do in me, because I want it all. I want it all. I want your purpose for my life. I want my potential to be fulfilled. I want it all. Would you rise to your feet? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's just lift up our hands in the presence of the Lord. You know, David said, and I love this, he said, I will be humble in my own eyes. When his wife, Micah, was sneering at him, saying, you made a fool of yourself. The way you whirled and danced in front of all the people, not wearing your proper kingly robes. You made a fool of yourself. And he said, I'm going to be humble in my own eyes. I'm not going to see myself as a king, but as a son. You know, the beginning of the book of Proverbs, Solomon introduces himself. And he says, I'm a son first and then a king. Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. You know, the more we remember, Lord, I'm your child, that's who I am. That's where my value, validity, worth comes from. We can be a servant when we really know that we're a son. Right now, if you're just saying to the Lord, Father, I want you to do that work in my heart. I just want you to minister. You see, we talked about hardness of heart and stubbornness last week. We've looked at self-importance. But you know what I sensed from the Spirit this morning as I was praying is that there's many people here, and it may not be necessarily one or the other of those things, but you know that God is shining his light into your heart in this season. You know that he's saying, son, daughter, it's time to deal with the deep issues of the heart. And you're saying, I want to begin a new journey. I want to open up my heart afresh and ask for the light of God's Spirit to come in. You know, we're going to move on to looking at some heart attitudes that are God's game changers in a positive way. But right at this place, if you're just saying, I just know that I want to set myself up for a new level, I want God to dig deep, would you just come to the altar and just kneel at the altar? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And as you come, just open your heart before the Lord. Just say to him, Holy Spirit, shine your light deep into my heart. Many of you, you've been on a journey over and over again, but God's saying this is a new beginning because I want to set you up for a new level of success. I want to set you up. Thank you, Jesus. Just come and kneel at the altar and just open your heart before the Lord. The Bible says in Proverbs 20, verse 27, that God shines his light into the inner caverns of our hearts. Right now, just say to God, access all areas. I open my heart to you. There's times when God points his finger on areas of pain and sense of lack of worth. With others of you, he's about to point his finger on areas of just where you've rested on the opinions of people. Right now, just open your heart before the Lord and just invite a work of his Spirit, a fresh work of his Spirit. I just sense there's going to be a fresh beginning, a fresh start in many of your hearts and lives. Just open your heart to him right now. Holy Spirit, shine your light, I pray, into every single one of our hearts. And as you're in your chairs, just keep your arms raised in the presence of God. And just invite God to shine his light. You know, we're always work in progress. Just ask him to shine his light into your heart. Father, I pray for each one. Father, I pray that you would take each one on a new journey, ready to take us into a new place. Father, I thank you that you are patient with us, that you are loving. But Lord, it's our hearts that you are after. Father, touch each heart, I pray. Lord, as the words of that song said earlier, I give myself completely to you. I give myself away that you may use me. I give myself away that you may use me. Father, have your way, I pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And just while, before we finish the service, if you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, you've never made him the Lord of your life, you've never allowed him to be completely in charge, and you're saying, I want to surrender, I want to give my life to Jesus. Just in these moments now, I would love to pray for you. Why don't you just lift up your hands in the presence of God. If that's you, you're saying, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to surrender to him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Father, I speak your blessing over your people. Lord, I pray for each one of us that, Lord, you would do something new. Father, I know where you want to take us is great. So, Father, I pray that the work within would be deep. The deeper the roots, the stronger the foundations, the taller the structure can be. Father, have your way, I pray, in Jesus' mighty name. And Father, start something new in each life. And I give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' mighty name. Why don't we just, as the people at the front return to their seats, why don't we just sing that song? I give myself away. I give myself away.